Turn with me over to the first chapter of Galatians in the first 10 verses here. I have to apologize. I don't have a fancy name for this series as Sean would, but oh well. I'll be focusing on a few of these verses in particular as I hope to focus on the gospel that Paul is proclaiming and the false gospel that he is arguing against to figure out what that is and why the Galatians have fallen for it. So I'll be looking at that in this passage and then a few verses later in Galatians, and I'll be coming to a few verses at the end of this passage again a little bit more in the next time. So I will read starting in verse 1, and I will read to verse 10. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the word of God. Join with me in prayer. Lord, our Father, we know that all the preaching of your word and the hearing of your word and the responding to your word is only effective by the work of your Holy Spirit. So we ask that you would come to us and be present with us in your spirit to help us to hear the word that you have for us in this passage, that you would help us to hear and to respond, that you would help us to grow in our knowledge of you and our knowledge of the salvation that you have given us, that we may live as you will for us and to live. So Lord, we ask that you would help us now to hear your word well, and that you would be glorified in us through this. And we ask this in the name of your Son. Amen. One night when I was little, I had a nightmare, and apparently my yelling attracted my parents, who came rushing into the room to comfort me. It was sometime early in elementary school, and I had just started a school year, I think was around the time. And I have only vague memories of that nightmare, but I know that it had something to do with huge, enormous stacks of homework, and I was in school. And I had to do it all, but I couldn't do it all, and I didn't want to do it all, and I just wanted to come home. But my dad came to me and talked to me, and I realized that I was home. And everything about that experience changed when my dad woke me up and told me where I really was. Because knowing where you are and what your life is and where your life is changes how you then see your life and then how you live because of that. And misunderstanding where you are and where your life is can lead you into a nightmare. And these Gentile Christians in Galatia are facing a similar issue, that they have been taught by Paul, but now new teachers have come among them and are telling them they must continue to live under the law. They must live like a Jew if they want to escape the judgment of God on the day of judgment. So they begin to live as if they're still under the old covenant and as if Christ has not come. They don't know where they are, and they're in great danger because of that. So Paul must then shake them up and remind them where they really are and what their life is. So Paul has been incited to write this letter because false teachers have risen in Galatia, and the Galatian Christians are turning away from the gospel that he preached to them and are accepting this false teaching. Paul calls these teachers troublers or agitators who seem willing to accept the Galatians as brothers, but then insist that these Gentile Christians must then add to or complete to their faith by adding in circumcision primarily, and then the other works of the ceremonial law of Moses in order to maintain their justification and then be vindicated by God on the day of judgment. Douglas Moo summarizes the problem like this. He says, the agitators were not arguing that people get right with God by doing good works, but that people can have their right standing with God vindicated only by a faithful observance of God's covenant stipulations. As you will see, Paul opposes this false teaching with great vigor, and then as the Church Father Chrysostom says in a memorable phrase, the letter of Galatians breathes an indignant spirit. First, Galatians is unique in being addressed to a region instead of the Christians of a particular city, and so we aren't entirely sure who these Galatian Christians are. Scholars debate what they call the North Galatian and South Galatian hypotheses, as the word for Galatia or Galatians could refer to one of either two things. First, it could refer to the ethnic people of Galatia who live primarily in the north of this region that is now called Turkey. Paul visited that region in his third missionary journey and may have planted these churches at that time. But the word could also refer to the Roman province of Galatia, which extends further south and would incorporate the cities of Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and Antioch. salvation and vindication then about us and our own works. They were not comfortable acknowledging that we cannot maintain our right standing before God by anything that we could hope to do. But we are the same, aren't we? False gospels are appealing to us for the same reason that they were for the